If you turn with me this morning to Genesis chapter 15. Before I get started, I want to say something. Sin, if so many times we think that the whole goal in this life is to get victory over sin. You spend year after year after year struggling between trying to get victory and overcome certain things. But the truth of the matter is, sin is nothing for God to have victory over. But too often, we waste our entire life battling with the same issues that the Lord dealt with on day one. When you became born again, the day that you accepted Jesus Christ, the power of sin was broken in your life that day. And God would have enabled you at that same time to live for Him victoriously through what He has done. But so much of our life is dealing with our issues and our struggles and our battles that truly you never get to experience Christian liberty in life. So this morning I'll be speaking a moment on that, but as we go into the text. But I want you to think for a second. If you're employed by McDonald's, or if you're employed by AT&T, or if you're employed by DCSC, when you go to work for that job, they don't want you talking about Wendy's if you're at McDonald's. And they don't want me talking about Verizon on that AT&T, right? We're employed by God, amen. We need to know His business structure, amen. We need to be trained so that we can be profitable. Amen. This morning I'll be ministering on a message simply entitled, "The Bondwoman Has Got to Go. The Elder Will Serve the Younger." The bondwoman has got to go. The elder will serve the younger. The most common error in this life is to not embrace the promises of God. This morning, we'll learn the difference between flesh and the spirit. In Genesis, God had made a promise to Abraham, stating in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 4, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." We must learn this right now. If God has made you a promise, you can count on it. We need not to interfere with God's plans. God didn't tell Abraham to do anything. He just told Abraham what he was going to do. And as soon as God tells you something that he's going to do, let God do what God said he will do. But when you try to take the matters into your own hand, it's going to turn into fault, it's going to turn into error, and it's going to be a mistake. Abraham and Sarah tried to make the work of God into their own. And as a result, they failed miserably. Only God, and listen here, only God can create works that He is satisfied with. Only God. Not any work from your hand or any work from my hands, but only the work that God does is He satisfied with. Look now with me in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 9. This is where we're taking the majority of our text this morning. And the word of God reads, Genesis chapter 21 and verse 9, "And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight, because he loved his son. And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman and all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Amen. So we have a situation. And I want you to understand this. Ishmael is a type of the flesh. And Isaac is a type of the spirit. By Ishmael being a type of the flesh, he was conducted by Abraham and Sarah saying, "Go to my maid Hagar, and then we'll make this promise of God come to effect." He was a product of the flesh. Instead of trusting in God, they went about it their own way, and here you have this fleshly product. Understand this. When you come to God with flesh, He don't want to have nothing to do with it. But Isaac is a total work of God. Sarah in her old age, well past her years of bearing children, by the power of Almighty God, conceives Isaac, when it's the work of God, is something impossible that you cannot take glory for. God had a way in the Old Testament to make sure that his children couldn't take glory for anything. He sends you to battle with 300 against 10,000 so that no way in your mind could you get it twisted up to think that you had something to do with it.
Amen.
When it's a work of God, you really don't have anything to do with it. It's simply trust and obey and let God have the day. Amen. Ishmael in this text was a type of the flesh. But Sarah knew something, amen? Sarah knew something. She knew this, that the flesh will not rule and reign, and the flesh won't even be an heir with the Son. Those that walk in the flesh have no inheritance with God, amen?
Amen.
Those that have confidence in the flesh have no inheritance with God. The flesh and the spirit, they war with each other. And God has called us to peace and liberty in Christ. Galatians 5:24 says this, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust thereof. Sarah said, she has got to go. Now picture this, two children. One had to go, and one could stay. If you look at in Genesis, Adam had to go, because he became fleshly when he ate of the tree. But the one that stays is the child of promise. The child of promise is the one that stays. Sarah understood this. She understood, first of all, that fleshly things and spiritual things have no relationship with one another, and she's got to go. She said it in such a way, kick her out, pack her bags, with expedience. You get her out like a sheriff is coming to evict you on a foreclosed home. No words about it. Get her out. Because what was happening, Ishmael was making fun of the child of that was truly the child of God. And when you are entangled in the world and you allow the world to intermingle with the church, you'll only be mocked by those that savor of the spirit. You'll be mocked and so on and so forth. The flesh wants to destroy the things that are the spirit. Because Isaac knew, or Ishmael knew, that he wasn't going to be an heir. He knew. Because what God had created is what God blessed it. Don't expect God to bless the work of the flesh. Don't expect God to bless the work of the flesh. But what is blessed is that which is born of God Almighty. Amen. Sarah said she has got to go. We have to get away from ourselves. We have to get away from ourselves. Self wants everything. The flesh has been holding up too long. The flesh is like a roommate that doesn't pay bills. All it does is cause trouble. No good comes from it. But some of us are willing to hang on to the flesh so much that we'll lose and damn our own soul because we won't get it out of our life. We won't hearken to the voice of the word that says, put on the new man, which is renewed in the image of Christ. We won't put on the new armor. We want to have the old and the new mixed together. And in the end, it's vomit in the eyes of God. It's lukewarm. It's no good. The bondwoman has got to serve. The bondwoman has got to go. Yes, you were born in the flesh. Amen. You were born, each and every last one of us was born in the flesh. But when you're born again, the immediate response is that the flesh has got to go. But here's the problem. Abraham clears it up. Abraham was upset. Why was Abraham upset? Why was Abraham upset? Verse 21 and 11 says, and this thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Abraham loved Ishmael. He loved his son. He loved his firstborn. He had great affection. He didn't want to have his son taken away from him. He didn't want to let go of it. He knew the flesh very well. He knew his son's likes and dislikes, what he wanted to eat, what he didn't want to eat. And let me tell you, you know what you like.
Amen.
And you don't want to let go of it. And we have to understand this, that in all the things that we might consider to embrace the promise of God, we have to let it go. Abraham was told by God that through his seed would become the Redeemer of the world. And in order to embrace the promises of God, you have to let some things go. Abraham truly did love his son. He was his firstborn. But understand this. What is of the flesh? What is of the flesh, and just using Bible vernacular, must be circumcised or cut off. And when that's done, it's a permanent removal, amen? It must be cut off forever and cast away. It may be painful, but necessary. When God sees the circumcision of our heart, much can be done. When we're truly sanctified before the Lord, we, like Abraham, will hear this response. We know how the story goes. He does send away Ishmael. And then God tells him to take your only son, as if he's never even recognized Ishmael. Take your only son, Isaac, the only thing that I've given you, and I want you to take it upon the mountain, and I want you to slay your son before me as an offering. And Abraham takes his son, goes up to the mount, and right before he was going to put an end to his son's life, the Lord says, stay thy hand, I now know. And when God sees that we will put him before the desires of our flesh, here's what we might just hear. Genesis chapter 2 and 16 says, and I said by myself, I have sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, as thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee, as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. When Abraham in obedience, and let me tell you something, obedience is not easy. If obedience was easy, pornography wouldn't be rampant. Adultery wouldn't be on the rise. If obedience was easy, there'd be no such thing as divorce. Amen? If obedience was easy. But imagine God telling you to, first of all, get rid of the one son because he's not going to be an heir with the other son. And then God just beating you with the one. Now take the thing that you really, 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 really love and lay it on the altar. Take that which you hold on so dearly, and despite of what turmoil it might cause you, let it go for my name's sake. And when God saw that Abraham was willing to depart with his own son to embrace the will of God, blessing followed. When you are willing to give up that which holds you back, blessing will follow. Every time that God broke something, he blessed it. But until we're broken before the Lord, there's no blessing. Until we have taken our faith, which we say is in Jesus Christ, and the corn of wheat, as Christ made an example, has fallen into the ground and died. Until you give up yourself and die through the cross, no fruit will come. It's just a fleshly work. It's just a fleshly appearance with a spiritual name. Amen. Genesis chapter 21 and 11 says this, and the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. I could have learned that lesson last week when my wife said, don't go down that alley. And got stuck in the snow. But the point is this. Sometimes God has to speak through another. I'm sure that God had told Abraham there can't be that type of relationship. The flesh can't inhabit the things of the spirit. The bondwoman has got to go. The elder will serve the younger. Galatians chapter 4 and 28 says, now we brethren, as Isaac was the child of promise, but as that he was born after the flesh, persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Let me read that again. Galatians chapter 4 and 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. But what has the scripture said? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. The message of the cross, in short, that we preach at this church, simply says it's not about what you have done. is about what Christ has done. But the flesh will try to twist the things of God and says, it's about what you do will determine what God does. If you pray a lot, then God's going to do a lot. If you don't pray at all, God's not going to do anything at all. If you speak in tongues, you're more blessed than someone that doesn't, or so on and so forth. The flesh always amplifies itself. But the things of God always amplify Christ. They bring glory to Christ. They bring glory to Christ. But even in the new age after Christ had died, there were men of the flesh, the Judaizers, that would always try to persecute the things of the Spirit, try to bring the things of God down to things that man could do with their own hands. The bondwoman has got to go. Whenever you hold on to things that are of the flesh, you're holding on to the Ishmael of your life. And no blessing comes until he is cast away. Let us not be deceived. The flesh must go. How do we crucify the flesh? I'll come back to that in just a moment. But I want you to go back with me to Genesis chapter 25 for a moment. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. After Abraham died, Isaac married Rebekah, and Rebekah was barren. How many of y'all know that the prayer of the righteous availeth much? The prayer of the righteous availeth much. And Isaac began to entreat the Lord, and God allowed her to conceive. And she conceived. And we find this in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 22. And it says, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Rebekah struggled with her pregnancy, and God told her why. There were two nations in her womb, two manner of people totally different. Two totally different people, two totally different nations, two totally different types of purpose. Amen. When God is doing a work in us, it may cause some tribulation in us. She was unpregnable and then got pregnant after God had worked. And just because God answers one of your prayer requests doesn't mean that the going is always going to be easy. She struggled. She had labor pains. She had cramps and kicks. And thought something was wrong. When God is doing a work in us, it may cause some tribulation through us. But we learn in this passage that the elder shall serve the younger. Now understand this. In biblical times, the firstborn was the heir of everything. It was unheard of for the secondborn to have everything. When the father died, everything went to the firstborn, and so on and so forth. The other children got some, but the firstborn always got the majority of possession. Now, Mr. Wallace, I am your firstborn. Hallelujah. But understand this. In biblical times, the younger would always serve the elder. Amen. That's how it was. Jeremiah will probably have Leah saying, get me this and get me that at some point, because you don't know no better. But in those times, the younger would serve those that were older. But God does a flip of script here and says that the elder shall serve the younger. Verse 24 says, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came out his brother, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. Esau was the firstborn, as was Ishmael the firstborn of Abraham. Jacob was the secondborn, but he grabbed his brother's heel as if to say, get thee behind me. He knew that he was coming out second, but he's laying a hand on his heel as to pull him back and say, get behind me. You might be coming out first, but you're going to serve me. And the thing that came out first was flesh. But again, the thing that came out second was the type of the spirit. The flesh and the spirit can look very much alike. It says they were twins. They weren't identical twins in this text. But sometimes the things, the flesh and spirit, they can look just like the same thing. And it can be hard to distinguish between the two. But the devil is a counterfeit. And he works real hard at making things that look spiritual, make things that are carnal look spiritual. God does not need you, ministers, men, to go pray for a woman in the middle of the night that she might be healed. Prayer is a spiritual thing, but it's not of God to go in someone's house in the middle of the night and pray that, even though it might be good intent, something fleshly may come out. So, but it says that these two were twins. But if you don't know how to determine the things between flesh and spirit, then God will have you, or the devil will have you building up wood, hay, and stubble instead of the true fruit, which is born of the spirit. In this particular context, the type of the flesh and the type of the spirit cohabitate in the same body. How many of y'all know that your old man is crucified? That the body of sin might be destroyed, and the new man is present within us. But Paul in Romans chapter 7 had a struggle. He couldn't figure it out. There was something in him that was contrary to the spirit and the mind that he wanted to do. And it can be painful. But understand this, the flesh, as described of Esau, was physically stronger. He was a hunter. But what is blessed of God is where true strength lies. So you might be more, there might be a big old Goliath in your life, big old giant. And by fleshly means, he's bigger and stronger. He's got more pop and more circum and just looks mighty. But if you're led of the Spirit, a little man by the name of David can pick up a couple stones and slay the giant, amen? Amen. The flesh may look big. It may seem powerful. But the things that are born of the Spirit is where true strength lies. Verse 27 says, and when the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, verse 29, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said unto Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do unto me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now understand what had just happened here. The hunter couldn't hunt. The hunter couldn't hunt. He was a cunning hunter. I mean, he was good at what he did, but at this particular point in the text, he could not hunt. He had eaten for so long that he was willing to give up his entire heritage for a little thing of oatmeal and a couple little beans. The hunter couldn't hunt. When you walk in your flesh, I don't think Esau was praying when he was trying to hunt that day or for that week. But when you go and try to endeavor and do things outside the will of God, it's going to come back fruitless. So Esau was starving to the point to die, but I'm not sure how long he hadn't eaten, but he was at the point to where he would give up his birthright. Understand this morning, and I want all ears to listen real good. Don't give up your spiritual birthright for a little pottage and a piece of stale bread. Far too often the church sells out for nothing. The flesh hasn't gotten its fix for a little while. You've been done good on Jesus. You've been turning your back on sin, and you've been trying to follow the Lord. But the flesh gets hungry, wants to go back to the things that it was going before. It wants to have a little taste of what the life was before. And instead of trusting in God to get you through the temptation, instead of trusting in God to make the door to wherever you can stand, instead of trusting in God and understanding that He doesn't tempt you above measure, which a natural man can handle, instead of trusting in God, you might find yourself in an Esau experience saying, you know what, I'm going to set out today to have a little peace. Don't give up your spiritual birthright for a little pottage and a piece of stale bread. Don't give up your spiritual birthright for a little pottage. As I said a moment ago, too many Christians sell out for nothing. Yet for some reason, we think that if a gun is held to our head, and we're given the option to either renounce Christ or die, that we're going to have the faith to take that gunshot. That's going to happen again. It happened in history. People were held, either you denounce Christ or we're going to kill your children. Either you denounce Christ or we're going to burn up all your possessions. Either you denounce Christ or we're going to take away our life. And those highly lofty spiritual ones of us would think, well, I'm going to die for Jesus. But when you yield to the flesh, you just sold your birthright. Don't give up your birthright. Don't give up your birthright. Don't give up your born-again right. Don't give up the power of the Holy Ghost right. Don't give up your victory. Rather, get up. Let me say it one more time. Don't give up your born-again right. Don't give up the power of the Holy Ghost right. Don't give up the victory. Don't give up. Rather, get up and kick the bondwoman out. The elder will serve the younger. You don't have to settle for slavery when salvation is free. You don't have to backslide when you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost. The elder will serve the younger. How do we crucify the flesh? It's by saying, in God I live, in God I die. I'm going to testify because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and those that believe in the power of Almighty God, He will crucify the flesh in you. All you have to do is believe. There's no 12-step program to get the barred woman out. It's just to go on the authority of God, claim victory in your life. Devil, I am more powerful than you because it's not my strength. I'm coming in the power of Almighty God. It's time for you to get out. You've been hindering me too long. You've kept me down in the pit, but it's time for you to go. You might have been a great angel, but guess what? You are older and you will serve Christ.
Amen.
Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We've been hanging on to the flesh thinking God don't notice. Thinking God don't notice.
Amen.
He knows you got Ishmael in your closet.
Amen.
He knows. He knows where your love is. He knows. The bondwoman has got to go. It's a work of God through faith in Christ.
Hallelujah.
You might love your flesh, but I can guarantee you this. The scripture says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall seek to save their life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose their life for my name's sake shall find it. Let me tell you something. You can hold on to your flesh until you're old and gray, and then hold on to everlasting hell, because that's where you'll be. If you want to hold on to the flesh, let me put it like this. Jesus said it is better to pluck out thine eye and cast it away than it is for you to hold on to it and damn your whole body. It's better to cut off your hand if it offended thee than it is to hold on to it and put your whole body in hell. It's better to let that man go that ain't your man than to hold on to him and go to hell with him, because he don't care. She don't care. It's time to let the bondwoman go. understand that we've got a new head in Christ. We understand that the old Adam before sin could walk on water, but the new man in Christ Jesus is more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. It starts to claim the new man. I've got the new man because I don't have to waste my time working on the flesh. I'm going to put all my affection on Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
The bondwoman has got to go. If you hold on to your flesh, you will die. You will die. Physically, spiritually, and eternally. For what? I need some pottage. I need a little bread. Give me some lentils. Oh, here's my birthright. I just give it away. I just give it away as if it doesn't mean anything. For what point? He shall supply all of your needs. All of your needs according to his riches and glory. Do you love Christ more than your flesh? Do you love Christ more than you love your flesh? Jesus paid the price for our victory and continued victories. The old Adam, one way or another, is going to serve Christ. One way or another. So I submit to you, when I was growing up, I did not like getting my butt beat. So I was a mama's boy. And a mama's boy with a soft behind because it didn't get far from constantly getting in trouble. It is better to surrender to the Lord today than to stand before him in glory at the judgment seat of Christ and there be an Ishmael.
Amen.
That's how serious this is. The flesh will not be heir with my son. What did Paul say? Those that commit the works of the flesh, it makes a whole long list. Liars, murderers, fornicators, whoremongers, those that do these things have no inheritance with God. All types of Ishmael have got to go. Ishmael can come in any form, any shape, any size. An Ishmael can be your job. An Ishmael can be your best friend. An Ishmael can be something that you hold in high regard.
Amen.
But you have to let it go. The bondwoman has got to go. Genesis 17:21, coming to a close. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, and with Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time next year. God promised that to Abraham, and he promises the same to you. Those that trust in the Lord shall renew their wings as eagles, and faint not. I'd ask you all to stand this morning.
Amen.
Don't let sin keep you from entering in the Holy of Holies. You see, when Jesus died on the cross and the temple garment was torn from the top to the bottom, he was saying all can come in. But understand this, if the high priest, as my dad explained last year, as he went into the tabernacle once a year, they put bells around his feet so they could hear if he stopped moving. That means he messed up. Just because God has made access for us to come boldly before the throne of God, you better come boldly before him, living the right way, acting the right way, and doing what is correct. Otherwise, we'll look before him naked and ashamed, saying, oops, I messed up. And there's no need to. Ishmael has got to go. There are things in my life that have got to go. There are things in this church that have got to go. There are attitudes that have got to go. There are visions that have got to go. And we have to allow God to take control. The elder will serve the younger. Don't sell out your birthright. Don't give up on God. Don't do anything that's going to jeopardize.
It's all right if I play.
You play the, I want to worship you, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, this word that you put on my heart, Lord, this is me, it's for me, it's for the people, it's for everyone that is here. And Lord, we ask that you right now purge us, Father God. That you send the fire of the Holy Ghost, Father God. Take the blinders off of our eyes that have been blinding us. Take the complacency out of our heart. And Father God, let there be a clear distinguishing between what is right and what is wrong. Lord, let the works of the flesh become manifest as you assist us, Lord. That those things come out of our life, that we might be pure and holy. Father God, you're coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And you provided us access through Christ and Him crucified. Father God, let our faith be in what Jesus Christ has done so that we can walk in the victory which you provided. And above all, Lord, we just ask you, though we have great love for the things to hold on to so deep, we ask that our love for you be stronger and more powerful than anything that we might currently have in our life. Love us, Father God. Don't stand up before someone in heaven and say, John have I loved and Adam have I hated. But let us all be your children. Let the circumstances be of the heart. Amen. If you need prayer this morning,
come on, church.
If there's a bondwoman, a bondman, an Isaac, or an Esau in your life, today is the day. Let go and let God. Make up.